Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
Our scripture reading today is again taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. We read the verses 1 to 25. Hear the word of God. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. And he said to them, Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Also he said to them, Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And now the last two verses of verses 24 and 25 form our text. Then he said to them, Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Thus ends the reading of Holy Scripture. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of his word to our hearts. Dear friends, are you a good listener? Some people are very good at listening. They can listen to someone talk for hours, and they can recall almost everything that they said, even years later. Others, especially men, I'm afraid, are not like that at all. Often men hear without listening. For example, a man comes home from work, he puts on his slippers, goes over to his easy chair, and starts reading his newspaper. Meanwhile, his wife is busy in the kitchen preparing supper, and she's telling him everything that happened during the day. But he's so engrossed in his newspaper that he's not really listening. He hears her voice in the background, but he's not listening. Sensing this, his wife comes into the living room and says to her husband, Hey, did you hear anything that I said to you? And still not responding, she says, Did you hear that the Canucks made it to the playoffs? And at this point, the man folds over his paper and he says, What? Are you serious? Well, the point of this story, which is sadly only too true to life, is that sometimes we can hear without really listening. This man heard his wife speaking, but he wasn't really listening, at least not until she got his attention. Well, the sermon today is about listening, not to our wife, but to someone far more important. It's about listening to God. And Jesus speaks of this in the words of our text, Mark 4, verse 24 and 25. There Jesus says, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him." So in these verses, Jesus tells us to listen carefully. And that's our theme today. Listen carefully. And we'll see that he issues three things here. He issues, first of all, a solemn warning. Secondly, an equitable principle. And thirdly, an ominous prediction. The words of our text are part of an extended commentary on the parable of the soils, more commonly known as the parable of the sower, which is recorded in our text chapter, Mark 4, the verses 3 through 20. In this parable, Jesus describes four different types of soil, and each soil represents four different types of hearers. So the wayside soil represents those who hear the word, but do not allow it to make a lasting impression on their hearts. The stony soil represents those who also hear the word, but whatever impression they receive from the word doesn't last, and they soon wither away. The thorny soil represents those who hear the word, but it is soon choked out by the cares of the world and persecution. The good soil represents those who hear the word and produce fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold to the glory of God. And the point of this parable is obvious, that not all who hear the word are savingly transformed by the word. Some are, others, in some cases most, are not. Well, now in verses 24 and 25, Jesus returns to that thought. You see, Jesus knows how important it is to hear the word in the right way. Unless we hear the word in the right way, it will not have the desired effect. And therefore he says to his disciples, and possibly to the others who were standing beside them, "Take heed what you hear." Now the Greek verb translated to "take heed" literally means to see. So literally we could say Jesus is saying, "See what you hear." And the word in this context means to ponder, to pay close attention to consider carefully. What is more, it's in the imperative mood, meaning it is a command. So Jesus here is commanding his disciples, and by extension all believers, to ponder, to pay close attention to consider carefully what they hear. Now Jesus is referring, of course, to his teaching. We've already observed Jesus had just told the parable of the soils. But prior to this, he said many other things. In chapter 1, verse 21, we read that he taught in the synagogue in Capernaum. In chapter 1, verse 39, we read that he was preaching in all the synagogues of Galilee. And in chapter 2, verse 2, we read that before he healed the paralytic man, he was preaching to a large crowd of people who had gathered together in a house. In chapter 3, we read that he taught about the unpardonable sin and the identity of his spiritual family. So Jesus had said many things, and not all of which are recorded in Mark's gospel or in any of the gospels. And now reflecting back on everything that he has already said, Jesus says to his disciples, "Take heed what you hear." Ponder it. Pay close attention to it. Consider it carefully. Let it sink deep down into your hearts and into your minds. My friends, that same message comes also to us. Like the disciples, we too must pay careful attention to what we hear, specifically in the preaching of the Word of God. And why is that so important? Well, let me suggest several reasons. First of all, we must take heed what we hear because what we hear is not the Word of man, but the Word of God. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, Paul thanks God without ceasing because when the Thessalonians received the Word of God, which they heard from the Apostle Paul, they welcomed it, not, as Paul says, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Now, Paul here makes a very profound statement. He is declaring that the Word which he spoke to them were not his own words, but God's Word. Through his preaching, God was speaking directly to the Thessalonians. And my friends, that's still the case today. Whenever a minister of the gospel preaches in accordance with the word of God, he doesn't preach his own word, but he preaches the word of God itself. And therefore, we must take heed to what we hear. But secondly, we should take heed to what we hear because what we hear will have an effect. It will either soften our hearts so that we see our sin and come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, or it will harden our hearts in unbelief. In Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, God says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth bud and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Now God here compares his word to the rain and the snow. Just as the rain and snow waters the earth, causing the trees and plants to grow and to bud, so his word will accomplish its purpose. It will not return to God void. In other words, it will not return to him empty-handed. It will not have a neutral effect. We're reminded here that to sit under the preaching of the word of God will have eternal consequences. You never leave the church the same way you came in. Either your heart is made receptive to the call of the gospel, or it is hardened in unbelief. Now, you may not be conscious of that, but it is true. And there is no in-between. There is no neutrality. It's either the one or the other. And that's why we need to take heed what we hear. Thirdly, we should take heed to what we hear, because not everything we hear, or read for that matter, is sound. And the Word of God warns us about this. In Matthew 7, verse 15, Jesus warns us about false prophets, whom he compares to wolves, who come to us in sheep's clothing. And in Matthew 24, verses 4 and 24, he warns that many would come in his name and say, "I am the Christ," and will deceive many. "For false Christs," he says, "and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." In 1 John 4, verse 1, John writes, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." My friends, how we need to pay heed to these warnings of the Word of God. There has never been a time when preaching has been more available than it is today. We can hear all kinds of preachers on the radio, on television, and on the internet, and there's something wonderful about that. We can hear and be enriched by men whom we would never hear otherwise. But there can also be a danger to this. Why is that? Because not every preacher on the radio or on sermon audio or on television is sound. Don't think that just because a preacher is popular and everyone is listening to him and he manages to pack huge stadiums full of people that therefore he is sound. It's not necessarily true. As always, we must be discerning. We must take heed what we hear and read, lest we be led astray. My friend, what about you today? Are you taking heed to what you hear? Or are you simply listening to everyone and everything without even thinking, without any measure of discernment whatsoever? Oh, how we need to pay heed to Jesus' warning. Take heed what you hear. And so Jesus issues a solemn warning in our text. He urges his disciples to take heed what they hear. Following this, he establishes an equitable principle. And that leads me to my second point. Having commanded his disciples to take heed what they hear, Jesus sets forth an equitable principle. And he expresses that in verse 24 of our text. He writes this, "With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given." Now Jesus here is referring to what happens in the marketplace. If I go to the marketplace to buy flour, the amount of flour I put in my sack is directly proportional to the size of scoop that I use. If I use a big scoop, I will scoop a lot of flour. But if I use a small scoop, I will scoop out less flour. Well, Jesus says, so it is when it comes to hearing the Word of God. If you listen in the right way, in other words, if you scoop with a big scoop, you will derive a great benefit. But if you don't listen in the right way, in other words, if you scoop with a small scoop, you will not derive a great benefit. To put it another way, there is a direct correlation between how we hear the Word of God and the benefit we derive from it. And the principle is that the more you put into it, the more you'll get out of it. And the less you put into it, the less you'll get out of it. And it's very important that we understand that. Sometimes people say, well, I get nothing out of the minister's sermons. Well, first of all, let me say that the purpose of the worship service and the purpose of preaching, for that matter, is not in the first place centered on you. It's not so that you can get something out of it. Now, that's hard for us to accept in the narcissistic age in which we live, but it's true. Worship is not about us. It's about God. What matters is not in the first place whether I get a blessing, but whether the Word of God was faithfully expounded. And remember that although a certain sermon may not have spoken to you personally, it may have spoken to somebody else. But what should we do if we regularly get nothing out of the minister's sermons? Well, my friends, you need to start, first of all, with yourself. You need to ask yourself a number of questions. First of all, do I come prepared? Do I prepare my body by getting to bed on time the night before so that I'm alert and able to concentrate on Sunday morning? Or do I stay out until very late so that I'm too tired even to get out of bed and my mind is so filled with other things that I find it difficult to concentrate? Do you prepare your soul by reading God's Word or reading some good devotional material on Saturday night or Sunday morning? Putting yourself in the proper spiritual frame of mind and heart to receive the Word of God? Well, if you don't do these basic things, don't expect to get much out of the sermon. Spurgeon said this. He said, "We are told men ought not to preach without preparation." Granted, he says. "But men ought not to hear without preparation either. I would have the sower come with clean hands, but I would have the ground well plowed and harrowed, well turned over and the clods broken before the seed comes in." Oh, my friends, is that not true? Oh, let us learn to prepare ourselves to hear the Word of God. The more prepared we are, the greater the blessing we will receive. Secondly, ask yourself this question: how do I listen? What do you do when you're in church and the minister is preaching? Do you listen attentively? Do you try to follow the line of thought in the sermon? Do you listen prayerfully, asking the Lord to apply His Word to your heart? Do you listen with meekness and a willingness to be admonished and rebuked and taught? And what do you do after church? Do you pray over what you've just heard? Do you discuss it with others? Do you hide it in your hearts and ask the Lord to cause it to bear fruit in your heart and in your life? If you're going to derive any benefit at all from the preaching, you must do more than just come to church and sit in your pew and passively listen. You must listen with spiritual ears. Now, that's not always easy. That takes effort. That takes discipline. In fact, I would say it takes just as much effort to listen to a sermon as it does to preach it. But if we hope to benefit from the preaching of the Word of God, this is what we must do. And this is true not only with respect to the preaching, but it's true with respect to Bible study, to personal devotions, to Sunday school classes, to youth meetings, and all the other opportunities that we have to learn and to grow in the knowledge of God and of His Word. The principle is that the more you put into it, the more you'll get out of it. The less you put into it, the less you'll get out of it. And now to encourage us in this, our Lord goes on to say that to you who hear, in other words, to you who hear with spiritual ears, more will be given. Now here Jesus says that the amount of benefit we receive from hearing the Word of God will actually exceed the amount of effort we put into it. He'll give us what we put into it and even more. Now since that is so, my friends, should we not put much more effort into hearing the Word than we normally do? If I told you that if you invest $1,000 into a company, that within a week you would double your money, would you do it? Of course you would. In fact, you'd invest far more than $1,000. You'd mortgage your house and you'd take a loan out from the bank, anything to maximize your investment. Well, if we would do that to gain some financial advantage, should we not do much more to gain some spiritual advantage? Well, to ask the question is to answer it. Of course we should. Oh, let us do so then. Let us do what the Lord Jesus is telling us. May what he says here spur us on to even greater hearing and study of the Word of God. The more we study and hear, the more blessing we will receive, and more besides. And so Jesus sets forth an equitable principle. But he also issues an ominous prediction, and that brings us to our third and final point. In verse 25, Jesus says, "For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Now Jesus here repeats his earlier assertion that to those who hear, more will be given. But then he adds a new thought. He says, whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now what does Jesus mean by that? Well, he simply means this. He basically, if I were to paraphrase what he's saying use it or lose it. In other words, what he's saying is, if you don't take the opportunity to grow in your understanding of the Word of God, when you have the opportunity to do so, then whatever benefit you have derived from the Word of God will be taken away from you. Now, the Greek verb that Jesus uses here is in the passive voice, and that means that the action of the verb is performed by someone else. In this case, God himself. What Jesus is saying is that God himself will take away what we have. Now, why will he do that? Well, he does that in order to teach us to value and appreciate it even more. Remember the parable of the talents. A man was going on a long journey. Before he left, he gave 5 talents to the first servant, 2 talents to the second servant, and 1 talent to the third servant. And while their master was away, the servant who was given 5 talents gained 5 more. The servant who was given 2 talents gained 2 more. But the servant who was given 1 talent took his 1 talent, buried it in the ground, and returned it to his master upon his return. And you remember that when his master returned, he was not well pleased. And he asked the servant why he had not at least deposited his talent in the bank, so that when he returned, he could have received it back with interest. The servant said nothing. Whereupon his master ordered his servants to take away this 1 talent and give it to the one who had 10 talents, and then cast that servant into outer darkness, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said this, and I quote, he says, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." The point is obvious, isn't it? Either we use what we have been given in order to gain more, or we do not use it and have it taken away. Children, some of you are learning how to play an instrument. It's not easy to learn how to play an instrument. At least, it's not easy to learn how to play an instrument well. It takes many hours of practice. The problem is, you don't like to practice. You would rather go out and play and have fun. But if you don't practice, you'll never become good. And if you stop practicing altogether, you'll forget what you learned. And so it is when it comes to the Word of God. The more we read and study it, the more we hear it preached, the more we will benefit from it. Conversely, the less we read and study it, and the less we hear it preached, the less we will benefit from it. And it may even be that whatever benefit we derive from it will be taken away altogether. And if we're not careful, it may even testify against us in the day of days. Oh, my friend, what about you today? Do you hear the Word of God? Our attitude towards the Word of God is very much reflective of what lives in our hearts. If reading and studying and meditating on the Word of God is daily our delight, If, like the psalmist of Psalm 119, we meditate on its statutes day and night, then that is an indicator that our heart is right with God. But if the opposite is true, if reading and studying and meditating on the Word of God, if coming to church to hear the preaching of the Word of God, if attending Bible study and youth group is not our delight, if it's a drudgery and a bore, that is an indicator that our heart is not right with God. And so the question is, which is true for you? Oh, here too, let the Lord Jesus Christ be our example. His ear was always attuned to the Word of God. Throughout the whole time that he lived on this earth, the Word was daily his delight. He loved the Word. It was food for his soul, and he did whatever it said. He himself said, "I have come to do the will of my Father in heaven." And he even went to the cross to die for our sins. That's what the Word predicted. That's what the Word required, and he did it. In fact, even before he became incarnate, he's recorded as saying in Psalm 40, verses 6 to 8, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." Jesus delighted to do the will of God and to hear the Word of God. And if we are his people, then we will do the same. We will delight in the will and the Word of God. And we will delight in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate Word of God. And we will live for him and serve him all of our days. Oh, my friends, may God give us grace to do so. Until that day, may it be soon that we hear his voice with our own ears. And it will be what which should be now already. It will be food to our soul. And then we will do what he says in perfection, and we will live to his glory forever and ever. Amen. We always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by or have a comment on the message you have heard today, won't you please take a moment and let us know? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can give me a call at 778-982-9102. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at Banner of Truth Radio. That's all one word, bannerofTruthRadio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. If you would like more information about our churches, including who we are, what we believe, and where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed in your heart a desire to help us to offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Lehman Road, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can visit the donation section of our webpage. Thank you for listening. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.